All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Or should I say good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are listening in from. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to David, Anka, once again inviting me over to this wonderful presentation. And I hope that what I share with you today would be able to help you in what you guys are doing. Okay. I know that we've had a number of presenters, so I hope you've definitely learned a lot, but let's see if you can learn some more. And hopefully, if you like it, you'll be interested in finding out more. We'll see how we can make that happen. Okay. So my presentation is very simple today. It's a simple approach to improving Elliott waves. You could even use it for Fibonacci's as well. Very, very simple approach, nothing major, but hopefully in the way that I use this, this will help you too as well. Okay. Very quickly, a little bit about myself. Oh, we do have to cover this disclosure statement. Please understand that we are not licensed financial advisors. We are just educators, and that's all it is. Some people like to say for entertainment only. I say it's really for education. And so do understand that trading does involve risk. I know you've heard every single presenter probably say the same thing. So it's just something we have to say to cover ourselves. All right. But everything I'm going to be sharing with you today is just based on strategies that I've used to help me improve my trading. My hope is that it would help you with yours as well. So for those who don't know me, I have about 17 years of experience in the finance background, accounting. I did some investing background, some real estate as well. But for the last, actually more than 8 years now, I think to update that, since 2013. So that's what, 10 years now. So for the last 10 years, I have focused extremely and actually, quite frankly, solely on technical analysis. I started off in fundamental analysis because of my accounting background. I actually created a software that I use because we used to acquire businesses. And so I created and developed a software to help me do the fundamental analysis on those companies that we were buying. So we'll take all the financial statements, we'll input it into this software, and then it spits out a lot of information that tells us what's going on with the company, what's a good company, and what's a bad company. Well, I took that and I brought it to the stock market. And then I found out about something called technical analysis. And so I started comparing the two, the results of what my software would do. And, based on the type of fundamental analysis that it would take me a day, 2 days, maybe a week to come to a conclusion. I said, once I come to that conclusion and this is a good company or this is a bad company, how would that be represented on the charts? And for as far as technical analysis is concerned. And so once I started merging that together and really seeing the connection there, I started dealing more with the technical analysis. And today I solely deal with technical analysis. I have full confidence that if a technical analysis tells me that a stock is ready to go up, chances are very high the fundamentals will support that too as well. So for that reason, we specialize on identifying sound companies. We try to focus on what we consider to be attractive prices. We want to make sure that our risk is very low when we get into these trades. And we also want to make sure that we have something called the potential for capital appreciation, basically. And so for that, we came up with a strategy that we call the HARP strategy. And so we'll talk a little bit about that today. Some of my most notable calls, and I've called many, many, many. However, here's some of those that most people would recognize: the pandemic and the of 2020. We call the top, we call the bottom. Same thing with the crypto crash of last year, as well as the market top and bottom of last year. We did that. Matter of fact, let me show you what that looks like. I have a report that I usually send out every month, every week, actually. And this was when we were seeing the warning signs that the market hit a top right before the pandemic. Here is a screenshot of the report you see right here. But this is just some excerpt of that highlighting some of the things that we were mentioning there. That because this market is in unison, we need to be ready for either a slowdown at best, okay, or a reversal at worst. However, the writing is already on the wall. Take your profits, exit your position. The market is warning us to take heed. This was on January 24, 2020. That was almost about 6 weeks before the market really started tanking in February. Okay. But we saw that and we said, hey, get ready for this, right? One of the biggest things I try to tell people is that we don't like to sit on fences. It's either we see speed or we don't. And so when I start writing stuff and I start telling people stuff, it's like, yeah, it's very, very clear what the charts are showing. And that's why we use strong words as, look, the writing is already on the wall. Take your profit. It wasn't like, oh, let's see what happens and stuff like that. It was like, look, it is warning us to take heed, get out of there. Okay. Here is the bottom, the pandemic bottom, as you can see. When everybody was panicking that the whole world was shut down and we were going into the great, recession and possibly even another Great Depression in March of 2020, 2020, we saw that, hey, we're kind of like confused about being there. And I said, look, it's time to cover all your short positions, get ready for a rally. The market actually rallied. Is everybody able to hear me? Because I'm seeing things over here saying that the internet is choppy.
You
Anybody
did
have
cut
any
out
issues
for
here?
you did cut out for a second or a couple of
Okay.
seconds. So, but I can hear you fine now.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Here is the Bitcoin crash of 2022. When we wrote about that in January 2022, saying that the market, Bitcoin was displaying topping patterns and that it was going to suffer for a while. And next thing you know, Bitcoin and a lot of cryptocurrencies did really, really poorly in 2022. But again, in January 2022, we saw those warning signs. Here is where we pointed out that the market, the overall market, was getting ready to drop big. And said, we are prepared for a bearish drop that can be significant, lasting for weeks, if not months. Okay. Topping patterns are beginning to appear. We could see these things ahead of time. Here is the bottom of last year, okay, where it says, in conclusion, symptoms of a market bottom are surfacing with increasing evidence. Now, this was in November, early November 2022. If anybody recalls what was happening back then, nobody, like, I shouldn't say nobody, most people were not thinking that the market was bottoming out. I remember having arguments with a lot of people, and me telling them, I said, look, you're just gonna have to wait and see. Like, just watch. Like, these bonds are being put in. And so we were telling people, exit your short position, exit all your bearish trade. It is time to begin acquiring shares of strong and well and good companies that have established well, established good bottoming patterns. And so knowing how to see what companies are establishing good bottoming patterns is important. But we saw that. We saw that the market had hit bottom. We saw that there was increasing evidence that the bull market was here. And as much as we were screaming bull market, bull market, bull market, a lot of people up until even just 2 months ago, or maybe even last month, actually, yeah. So like in July, a month and a half ago, not even 2 months ago, it was the first time they started saying, well, maybe we're not heading for a recession. Maybe we're not heading for a recession. I was like, I've been trying to tell people this since November. Okay. Also, by the end of November, it was very, very clear. Like, I didn't know how else to like get it out to people that look, we are headed for a bull market. And now we just have to sit back and watch what happens, you know. It's funny because I get people coming up to me now and say, hey, you still bullish on the market? I've been bullish on the market since November. Nothing has changed. I said, when I see the market topping out, I would make that announcement. Until then, we stay bullish. Okay. But by the end of November, we had to, use a quote by John Templeton, who said it best, is that bull markets are born on pessimism, because that was all that was going on during that time. There was a lot of pessimism about the market. And again, it went on until literally July, I would say, at the very least. But from a technical analysis point of view, we will begin to focus strictly on bullish setups going forward. And that's still what we're doing till today. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to find, bearish drops here and there before the overall market. We know that the market is bullish, and most people say, where do you see it going? I don't know where it's going, but what I can tell you is we haven't seen any topping patterns yet. Okay. And until we see topping patterns, we just stay in that one direction. And so that's how we do what we do. Okay. So anyways, that's just a little bit about what we do and what I have done. But what I'm going to do here is try to use my knowledge of technical analysis to kind of help improve Elliott Waves, okay? And also, not necessarily Fibonacci, but has anybody ever heard of what is called a quadrant line? Anybody in the chat, just give me a yes or no if you've ever heard of quadrant lines. Okay, so Adrian has. Okay, very good. So there's a good number of people that's heard about the quadrant lines, right? And so the quadrant line, I don't really necessarily call it the Fibonacci. It's almost like Fibonacci, but it's not Fibonacci. In essence, and I'll show you what this looks like. In essence, what it does, it just kind of shows you, it divides a range into four different quarters. Okay. You think it is GAN? That's interesting, Adrian. I appreciate you saying that. Quite frankly, I don't even know what GAN is, if I was to be honest with you. But yeah, I'm one of those people that believes that, there are so many different ways on how to approach this that, even if we might not know something about one thing, doesn't mean it doesn't exist already, right? And I have to be honest, I didn't come up with this. This is just me doing my research and using different tools that I see out there and kind of seeing if there's some type of way to use these tools to understand when to get in, when to get out, which ones to stay away from, which ones to engage with, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to use this rather than the Fibonacci, but I think there's a element of Fibonacci to it, but I'm going to use this quadrant lines rather than Fibonacci itself. Okay. But it's used very similar to how Fibonacci is used. And then you can also see here with the SMA that I'm using here, it's a Fibonacci number. 55 is a Fibonacci number. So I use a 55. Most people use a 50. I use a 55 just to kind of help me with the Fibonacci numbers as well. But the way I'm also going to use this with Eliwave, I'm going to show you just one little thing that I do because when I was trying to learn Elliott Wave, and I'm not going to sit down here and say I am the master of Elliott Waves at all, but obviously we know that, Elliott Waves goes up and downs like this. And one of my biggest challenge when it came to Elliott Wave is, where are we? Are we in, the first wave, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth? How do we know if it's going to start over again? And that was something I just struggled. And I'll be honest, even till today, I struggle with. Until one day I just decided, I said, you know what? Rather than trying to figure out which leg we are on every single time, like every time I see a chart, trying to figure out. And if anybody, if you're honest and you'll see like everybody's drawing of the Elliott wave is subjective, right? I'll see people draw this. And again, a lot of it is in hindsight, right? So in hindsight, it's, oh yeah, see, it was very clear right here. But while it was happening, it's like, which one do we pick? Which one do we pick? And then you see some that say, oh, this is the smaller Elliott wave inside a bigger Elliott wave, or a smaller Elliott wave inside a medium Elliott wave, or midterm Elliott wave into a larger Elliott wave. And I'm like, well, which one do we use then? And that was my struggle. I don't know how many people can relate to that, but that was my struggle with Elliott wave. Until I decided to come up with what I'm about to show you here, which is I just told myself, I said, look, I'm not going to worry about what I'm getting in on the first leg or the second or the third or the fourth. All I'm going to do is make sure that if I see these patterns in Elliott Wave, I'll take the chance. Okay. And so I'm going to show you what that looks like. But you can take this down 55 moving average to define the trend, quadrant lines. I want to see a pullback below the 50, preferably. All right. Okay. Internet issues again. I am not sure why I'm having internet issues. Can you guys hear
Yeah,
me
you
now?
did cut out again for just a second, but yeah, I can hear you again now. Fine.
Yeah, I am so sorry. I have no idea why I'm having internet issues. I am using a laptop for the first time rather than my home PC. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But I've never had any problems before. But hopefully we won't, this will get results in. All right. So let's go to the charts. Let's go to the charts and let's see how to make this work. All right, so give me a second here. All right, so I am showing you the chart of NVIDIA. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to show you the big picture for now. Later on, when I invite you guys to come, learn more, I'll show you how to do this on a smaller time frame and all that kind of stuff. But for now, just what I want you guys to pay attention to is this logic and how simplified this is. And if you can understand this, then I think that you will understand even more when I show you more later, right? So here is NVIDIA, and let's see here. So here is the 55 simple moving average. So one of the first things I always say is that I am not going to worry about anything below the 55 simple moving average. Does that make sense? And so that was just a rule that I came up with for myself. And I said, if I want to be successful with Elliott Waves, Fibonacci, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and have more consistent results, never trade below the 55 simple moving average. Any stock below the 55 simple moving average is automatically dismissed from my portfolio. Fair enough. So that's the first thing. A simple way, and the way I explain it to my kids, because I teach my kids how to do this too as well. I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. I tell them there's good neighborhoods and there's bad neighborhoods, and you do not want to invest in bad neighborhoods. Does that make sense? So everything below the 55 simple moving average to us, give me a second. Yeah, I can tell the audio is breaking up because I can even see right here that I'm having issues here. I don't know. I apologize for this. So here's what I would like you guys to do. Whenever there is bad audio, could you just give me a thumbs down? If you know how to do that, just put a thumbs down and then I know I'll probably try to like stop. And then when audio is back up again, just give me a thumbs up or a Y and an N. And what I can do is that way I'll just stop talking until that comes back up. But anyways, bad neighborhood. I'm not even sure. Neighbor. Hopefully I spelled that right. Okay. Everything below the blue, the 55 simple moving average is the bad neighborhood. So that's the first thing we try to eliminate. So we only focus on stocks that spend the majority of its existence or the majority of the time above the 55 simple moving average. And so this would be considered good neighborhoods, right? Give me a second. Give me one second. Sorry about this. I'm just trying to get my internet to catch up. Good neighborhood, bad neighborhood. Do I scalp? No, I don't scalp. My favorite time frame are the weeklies and the monthlies, believe it or not. Okay. And there's a whole reason behind that. I'll have to go into a whole lot of details about that, but long story short, the easiest way I can say this is that time favors those who are patient. For lack of, without going into too much further details, I have to like book classes like why. You'll find less errors. Let's put it that way, less errors. And the errors is not necessarily just because of technical analysis, but a lot of the volatility and a lot of the noise that happens on a daily basis. Somebody might come out today, the feds might come out today, and that disrupts a lot of stuff. Then I'll have to be glued to my computer trying to like figure out, which side trying to be jumping on and extra, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not that you can't do it, it's just I don't do it, okay? So I realized that I could make just as much money as any day trader would make by focusing on the weekly or the monthly time frame and not have to stress myself out every single day based on what's going on. But anyways, but yeah, I hope that helps. So if we understand good neighborhood, bad neighborhood, we only focus on the ones that are in good neighborhoods, okay? And then we use the 55. Now the 55 is a Fibonacci number, obviously, right? So we use that. Now let me show you this quadrant or the variant of the Fibonacci. So here is the quadrant right here. And what I do, man, what is wrong with this internet today? Give me one second. Let me see if I can know what's going on. Hold on one second. I'm trying to text my IT person to see if they can come help this because I'm not sure.
You
Give me
said
a
you're on a
second.
laptop. Is it getting really hot sometimes if it
Oh yeah.
overheats?
No, it's not
Like,
hot. Yeah, it's not hot.
Do you have any
I'm
way of moving closer to the actual the router?
yeah, I'm sitting right beside a router, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can't get any closer to that
Trying to
router.
come up with ideas.
I know, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I'm sitting right beside a router. Now I'm wondering if it's every time I try to move my mouse, that's when it starts doing that too as well. So we'll see. Okay, well, let me just see if I can carry on and see how this goes.
Is there anything else running on the laptop that you can shut down?
Okay, that's a good idea. Let me see. Is there anything else running? Let me see. Let's see.
Yeah,
Anything
someone
running?
just said plug it into the router. Yeah, that does help too if you can physically plug it in with Ethernet.
Okay, yeah, let me see if I can. All right, so we're going to try to plug it into the router itself rather than Wi-Fi. So just give me a second. In the meantime, while they're helping me with that, I'll just keep on talking and then see if we can. All right, so what was I saying? I was saying, and that's probably why, yeah, because like on my home PC, I usually don't. I'm it's usually connected directly to the. So give me one second. All good now. So yeah, just give me one second. Let me see if I can switch this. I apologize, guys. Give me one second.
Yeah, while he's working on that, I'll just someone asked again about the replays. Yeah, those will
Correct.
be on timingresearch.com as soon as I can get them posted. Also, if you search for Timing Research on YouTube, Substack, or your favorite podcast app, you can find them there.
Okay, David, can you still hear me now? I just plugged it into.
Yeah, sounds
You
good.
can hear me? Okay, so let's hope that, so now it's directly plugged into the laptop. So let's see. We're not on Wi-Fi anymore and see if this works. Okay.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, sorry about that again, once again. But let me go ahead and still keep on going. So now let me show you this quadrant tool. And what this does is, so now that I know that a stock is in good neighborhood, always stays above the 55, what I do is I try to go back to the most recent. Now, we can't do anything over here because we're at the top. My goal, and this is how I also helped me with my Elliott wave, is I told myself never to worry about where the Elliott wave is anymore until price gets back down to the 55 simple moving average. Does that make sense? And that's how I personally solved my issue of trying to figure out where are we on the Elliott wave. So I don't worry about anything else, but it's like I'm going to start whenever price is back at the 55 simple moving average. And that just helps me restart everything. And if it's anywhere else, it better be because I'm already in it, or I just walk away from the stock altogether. And that helps reduce my guessing and trying to figure out where I got this right. And again, this helps me because I can show this to my kids and it doesn't have to be subjective, right? I have a clear tool that can be shown that they can see and they can say, yep, it's right here. That's what we're dealing with. Okay. So there's no guessing. My daughter doesn't have to come up, well, I think it's this. And then my son say, no, I think it's this. It's very clear what we can see here. And so that's where we start off. And that's why I say it's a very simple way for me to make sure that whatever I do when it comes to Elliott Wave, I know I'm on the right track. All right. So my idea is, I'm always, so right now, because we're up here, probably won't trade anything as far as this trade is concerned. The idea is to net wait until it comes back down to that 55 simple moving average in the future. Okay. Yes, this is on the monthly chart, but honestly, you can use it on any time frame. All right. I'm just using this to kind of make it very simplified. There's some additional tools that you'll need if you go on a smaller time frame to filter out the noise that usually takes place. But right now, I'm just showing you a simplified concept of how this works. Okay, so then is I always go back to the very last one where price, and then I go all the way to the top, the peak. And hey, can I get in at 50% or less of that pullback? And so if I come over here and I draw this line up here, you go all the way to here. What you'll see is we start with zero. This is a 25% pullback, a 50% pullback, 75% pullback, 100% pullback. Does that make sense? And I'm starting off from where the last rally began off the blue line of the 55 simple moving average. Does that make sense? And so what I'm now doing is I'm saying, okay, I'm only interested in the ones that pulls back to the 55 or less. Does that make sense? And it's right here where the blue line is taking place. Those are my criteria, right? It has to pull back 55%, 50% or more. It's trading at or near the 55 simple moving average, and then getting ready to start heading back higher again. And that's as simple as I do it. Okay. It's as simple as I do it. And I just look for stocks that meet that criteria. And I know, hey, if it pulls back here, usually you'll see that a 61.8 Fibonacci, maybe the 70, 78.0 Fibonacci, whatever it might be. But to me, it's like as long as it's 50% or more from the last time it left the 55 simple moving average, that's what I'm looking for. And that's as simple as I make it. Does that make sense? And then that means that somewhere in this area right here is where I want to get into the trade. As simple as that. My goal is to get in here before it reaches here. I don't look for breakouts. I don't trade breakouts. I don't do any of that stuff. I'm just trying to find how to get in between 50% of a pullback to the blue line, somewhere between there, and right before it heads back up again. So this is one of the reasons why when we saw Nvidia back in November of last year, we were telling people, hey, or January of this year, actually, January of this year, buy Nvidia, buy Nvidia, buy Nvidia. A lot of people were still kind of skeptical because they was, oh, the economy is going into recession. And I'm like, forget the economy going into recession. Watch what the technicals are doing, you know? And lo and behold, now we see where it was. But I was literally, and in those reports, I was writing those reports back then. Nvidia is a stock to get into. Oracle, we wrote about Oracle in December of last year. You can see the same thing again. Okay. It's literally the same pattern. Again, I can see this is Fibonacci. I mean, not Fibonacci, Elliott waves, right? So with all these Elliott waves, that is happening here. The question is, where are we on the Elliott wave count? And I was like, I don't worry so much about where the Elliott wave count is, as long as I can start at the 55 simple moving average. That makes sense. Now, when I see it there, the 55 simple moving average, I just want to make sure that from the time that it went up the last time, did we have a 50% retracement? It's as simple as that. So I go back here, I do this. Did we get a 50% or more retracement? The answer is yes. Boom. I'm ready to go again. It may be my mic. No, it's not my mic because I can see it on my computer too. My computer is for some weird reason freezing up. I don't know. This has never happened to this laptop. So I apologize. Okay. And so this is what I'm looking for. I mean, it's as simple as that. I can show you multiple examples of doing the same thing too. Here's Google on its way, right? So again, you go up here, you go to the high right there, boom. Notice the one unique pattern that reappears every single time is that one, we're in good neighborhoods. These are stocks that spend the majority of the time in good neighborhoods. I do not mess with stocks that are in bad neighborhood. It's just like real estate. Why would you want to go and invest in a real estate, property that is in a bad neighborhood? Okay. You have a better chance of doing better in real estate if your investments are in good neighborhoods as opposed to in bad neighborhoods. And the same thing I do in the stocks market. I'm not saying you cannot make money in bad neighborhoods. I'm not saying you cannot make money underneath the 55 simple moving average. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying to make life so simple for me. It's like just stick with that. Somebody might come and say, "Hey, I bought this stock at $1. It went to 50. Ha ha! I made more money than you, Wally, on this trade." Hey, good for you. Thumbs up. I applaud you. But to me, it takes away. Okay, so Marshall say, "I don't hear any audio and tested the audio company already." Yeah, I am so sorry. I have no idea what happened.
I think that is a problem on their end. I can hear you fine now.
Oh, you
I
can
mean
hear me fine? Okay.
it
All right.
does I mean it is still cutting out randomly, but just
Yeah.
for a second or two at the time.
Okay. I'm trying my best not to move my mouse and just talk for the most part. Hopefully that makes it a little bit better. But hopefully you guys get this point. All right. This is the setup. It's over and over and over. I'm just going to show you examples after examples of, companies that have done this over and over and over. Yes, I'm showing you the simplified version on the monthly time frame, but this is also cool because at the same time, one of the cool things about this is you'll see how a lot of these type of setups makes it to the new all-time highs. Right now, if you trade in a smaller time frame, you're not going to go to new all-time highs, but you will make new swing highs. If you're trading weekly time frame, daily time frame, 5-minute time frame, you make new swing highs, right? Again, it's just there's some things we need to do to kind of filter out the noises that just make sure that we are on the right page. But here is Caterpillar. So that's the other thing too. But, oh, it's only happening to technology stocks. No, it has nothing to do with just technology. It's just when you see the setup, it's there. And so here we are with Caterpillar, did the exact same thing. If I was to look forward to this now, I'll wait till the pullback happens in the future. And you might say, well, but how do I enter a trade like Caterpillar again? You can go on the smaller time frames, you can trade that if you want to, but I'm saying if I was looking for investing long term in a company like Caterpillar, it's too late to try to jump in here. Let's go find other companies that are setting up like this. Do I trade futures? No, but you can use it on futures too as well. Does that make sense? You can use it on futures. You can use it on cryptocurrencies. I have students that use this on cryptocurrencies as well. Again, because patterns are patterns, right? Price action is price action. It's just a setup that typically occurs that most people are just not aware of. Does that make sense? Here is Lennar Homes, the home building companies. Again, and this is what we were seeing back in, December, November, October, November, December, January. And I'm seeing this and I'm like, oh my goodness, this market is ready to go higher. And people are like, no, we're in a recession. And that's why I wrote about that. I said, we are only going to stay bullish because we could see that the market was ready to go higher. Even the S&P 500, this is the S&P 500, is the exact same thing, right? So I'm seeing this. This is October right here. This is November. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this market is ready to start heading higher. And so when everybody's like, oh, no, we're heading for a recession, I was like, good luck is literally what I said. And like I said, I argued with a lot of people and I stopped arguing with people. I said, look, come back to me in a year from now and let's see where the market is. And there's been people who's like, oh, we predict that the market's going to go down to 4,100. We predict the market. It's like, good luck. Okay. Not until I see otherwise. Does that make sense? And that's kind of like what we're looking at right here. Even the financials. Look at what's happening here with Visa, right? This company right here, Pulte Homes. Okay, can you imagine? I mean, these are the type of stocks that we were focusing on, and that's why if you looked at the, see if I can go back over here to where I was showing the this right here, when I said we will begin to focus strictly. This was in November of 2022. We will begin to focus strictly on bullish setups going forward. What were these bullish setups? Every single thing I'm showing you right here. All this was happening towards the end. And that was one of the biggest things I kept on trying to tell people too. I said, there are too many stocks showing these setups. How can we be claiming that we're heading for a recession when so many of them? And it made me start thinking. I said, I wonder if, and I even posted this on social media too back then. I said, either one, the who people are purposely lying to us, or two, they don't know what to really look for. I say, because if anybody's saying that we're heading for a recession after seeing these type of setups, it's either one, they're purposely lying to people so that people can be shorting while they are buying, or two, they really have no clue what's going on. But to us, it was the same thing over and over and over and over. Does that make sense? Over and over and over. And so we've done this. Ferrari is another company that, again, it's exact. This was even an IPO stock, right? Well, not necessarily an IPO. It hasn't been in existence like as some of these other companies have been, but same pattern. Here's another company, and I tell people like, one of the most unique thing that we do is we know how to find companies that are that we can buy at a low price that can make the all-time high. Okay. How about stocks going down? We have that too, but today is not the day for that, if you don't mind. You know, like when I invite you guys to come join us for the in-depth session on this, if you come join us, I'll show you how to the bearish side too. I just want to show people that look, it's a very simple concept that almost anybody can implement. Does that make sense? And the reason why we call this HARP, so like I might my audio, you know what, let me see if I can do this instead. Do this instead. HARP. The H here stands for healthy stocks. The A here stands for attractive. The R stands for risk, and the P stands for profit. Okay, so here is what we talked about, and this is where we came up with the whole concept of HARP, is that the H here is healthy, and healthy is, and it's kind of what I showed you, good neighborhood, bad neighborhoods, right? So I want the company to be in a good neighborhood, which tells that it's a healthy stock. So when I see stocks that over the last 10 years, over the last 3 years, over the last 5 days on a smaller time frame has stayed above the 55 moving average, that determines a trend and tells me, hey, here is a healthy trend. Does that make sense? And so that's the first thing we're looking for. What is attractive? Most people are trained to try to chase a stock after it's already made new all-time highs, so after it breaks out. Our goal is to get in before it even reaches that breakout point. Does that make sense? And so, what is your time horizon? It all depends on the time frame that you're using. The biggest thing is we know that if we find these type of stocks and we enter here, here's our target. Does that make sense? I know with certainty, as much as certainty as I can absolutely have, that we would make it to this level right here. All right. So if you're on a smaller time frame, all you got to do is like, hey, if this was a $2 difference on the smaller time frame, then you know, hey, and this is why I like the profit potential, because now I'm not trying to shoot for the moon. We never try to shoot for the moon. All we simply try to do is capture wherever we get in to the next swing high. And so this is where we can even decide which trades we want to get into, which ones we want to stay away from by saying, hey, how much profit potential can I get from this stock? And do I like the profit potential on it or not? If you don't like it, you don't have to trade it. You go find another stock. If you like the profit potential, great. Go in there, take advantage of it. Does that make sense? The risk, we minimize our risk because we know these are the type of stocks that should not be traded in bad neighborhoods. Does that make sense? They should not be trading in bad neighborhoods. So if for whatever reason I get into a stock and it goes below that 55 simple moving average, automatically it's become a risky stock. And so this is how we don't guess, we don't hope, it's not a wish, we don't have a feeling, it's not a gut or an instinct or you know something out there. It's really scientific and methodological, whereas like we know Here's what the pattern looks like. This is a healthy stock in a healthy, good neighborhood. We are looking for attractive entry levels. So attractive entry levels is getting in when it starts bouncing off that 55 simple moving average, not when it gets up here, right? Which is when everybody wants to start talking about it. If you think about, let's go back to NVIDIA. When did people first start talking a lot about NVIDIA? Wasn't it until recently that everybody started talking about NVIDIA? After it got up, when I was talking about NVIDIA back in October, November of last year, almost nobody was talking about NVIDIA. But all of a sudden, when it hit that all-time high, boom, the whole world is now talking about NVIDIA, artificial intelligence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is okay. My whole thing is we want to get in way before the media talks about it. Okay. Do we run screeners? You can run screeners. That's not a problem. Okay. Then as well, I mean, honestly, we can go to FinViz and just start looking at individual companies. Sometimes, believe it or not, I'll listen to, people on TV, people on YouTube and say, hey, they'll say, hey, they talk about a certain stock. I just do one thing I do. I just go back and look at the chart, see if I see the same setup or not. Okay. So this is a very simple concept. If you understand what we talk about here, I'm gonna just show you a few more. Here is MasterCard, right? Now you will notice that the profit potential on MasterCard is not as great as the profit potential that existed on NVIDIA. But at the end of the day, you would have to choose, hey, if you saw NVIDIA over here with the potential to make this much, would you be interested in that? Or if you saw MasterCard to get in here and the potential to make that much, you can make this much on NVIDIA or you can make this much on MasterCard. But you see, the thing is, there's a story in the Bible for those of you guys who might be religious and understand the Bible a little bit. My internet is unstable again. There was a story about a guy who would play the harp for a king that would always be stressed. It was David playing the harp for King Solomon. No, King Saul. Whenever he was stressed with anxiety and all that kind of stuff. And I look at it, and I look at the market. The market is almost kind of the same way. A lot of people are filled with anxiety and stress and not knowing, guessing, and all that stuff. I said, look, I don't have to worry about guessing. I take a lot of the guesswork away. I keep it very simple, and try my best to just focus on seeing what happened. On the x-axis, the years are 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. That's correct. That is correct. All right. Let me show you some more and then we'll wrap this up. I truly, truly apologize about my internet. I'm not sure. AVGO. Okay. Look at this. Look at how these companies. Now, again, when we saw all these, it's like, wow. This was, again, October, November, December, January. I was like, I don't know who is out there convincing the world that we're in a recession. They are lying to people left and right. Okay. And then next thing you know, you're seeing all these great companies making all-time highs after all-time highs after all-time highs. And then you wonder, why is it that these companies are doing so great, but they are telling us the market is not ready to go higher? Okay. So those are some stocks that are already done. What about some stocks that are doing it now? Okay, so here's an example of a stock. So these are the kind of stuff that we saw back then. Then I'm saying, hey, get ready, right? We've been talking about this stock right now. Notice that we haven't even reached its peak yet, but doesn't it fit the exact same list of stocks that we just saw? It's a repeatable pattern. See, the problem most people would tell me is, oh, this is a $327 stock, it's too expensive. But I'm saying this $327 stock is more likely to guarantee a profit than those are the $2 stocks that you have no idea whether they're going to go higher or they're going to go to 25 cents. Does that make sense? But notice how over the last 10 years, this stock has never traded in a bad neighborhood. Okay. Do you use FinViz to screen for stocks breaking below the? No, I don't. I don't, but you could. Okay, RK. I don't see no reason why you couldn't. Does that make sense? But I don't use it that way. Here's another stock, Toyota Motors. Now, here's is one where it's like it flirts with the bad neighborhood, but then what does it do? It comes out of that bad neighborhood. Does that make sense? I have a special screener that, again, I will show people how to use when they come to, the more advanced class that I'm going to be teaching. All right. But that's part of what you'll be, when you if you come to our, and I think it's next week, Tuesday, at 7:30. If you come to that session, I go into much more details where I show you everything that you need to see, like everything. Nothing is held back at that point. And it's a small fee for $97, you know what I'm saying? For those who take advantage of it today. If you take advantage of it today, I think we dropped it down to $97 to come in and come to a live workshop. I'll show you everything. Indicators and all, candlesticks, indicators, the whole nine yards, things that you need to see. We'll go into even smaller time frames, all that stuff that you need to see too. Okay. But I just want to show you that, you know, it's not just showing you stuff in hindsight, but showing you stocks that are gearing up to start heading higher. And you're welcome. And so I asked people, I said, how many people are hearing anybody talk about companies like this right now that are gearing up? Why do I have so much confidence? Look at this. This is a stock that for the last 10 years has not, you know, has always pretty much predominantly, I should say, maybe not always, predominantly stayed in good neighborhood. And where is it right now? Back in a good neighborhood. So it's getting ready to do what? Go higher. Look at this company right here, BPOP. All right. Same thing, right? It spends predominantly most of its time in good neighborhoods. Even in the times when it dipped below bad neighborhoods, it was there for a short period of time because of what was going on in the market, but boom, went right back up again. And a lot of the stocks right now, this is actually a stock right now that even on a smaller time frame is getting ready to do something really fantastic. Look at what it's doing now on that smaller time frame. So I know based off this, it's doing the exact same thing. It's not unreasonable at all for this stock, for those of you guys who want to see smaller time frame, that this stock is on its way to $74. Yes, it had a bad day today. And this is why I say the smaller the time frame, the more fluctuations you're going to have, right? Because there's, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, bad news might come out today, but then by tomorrow it fixes itself back. How many times have we jumped into a trade in the morning? Market's going well. By the end of the day, it's back down. Or the market drops down in the morning because somebody says something, and back at the end of the day, it's right back up again. So it's a lot more volatile, you know, on the smaller time frame, the smaller the time frame you go in. Or even let's say Monday, Tuesday, market is horrible. And by Friday, it's like as if nothing ever happened, right? So when I started understanding that phenomena, it's like, wow, you know, let's make sure that time is on our side. And these are kind of things that we'll go into on Tuesday night as well. What about this company right here? Let me go back to a bigger time frame. What about this company right here? Let's see here. Lunamon, what do you think, I think, is going to happen to a company like this? This is a company that is already on its way to new all-time highs. Okay. Don't let the price, you know, the $400, you know, deter you. I mean, you don't have to buy this stock. You can go find ones that are cheaper, but it's understanding what to look for. Look at this company getting ready to do something. And by the way, I always tell people this. I believe, I mean, this is just my conspiracy theory. I could be completely wrong, but this is my conspiracy. I always look at why is it that the ones that are like always in good neighborhoods are never the penny stock, right? They are usually stocks that are $100, $200, $300, $400, $500, $1,000. And then and this is my, again, my own conspiracy theory. Could it be that they're doing this because, you know, they know that all the retailers are going to be jumping over the penny stocks? Or maybe, you know, these hedge funds, because of how much money they put into companies like this, they need stocks that are not penny stocks, right? I don't know. It's just me. Let me show you a few more and then we'll move on from there. Here's another company, well on its way higher. All right. This is a $1,000 stock. So I know it's not for everybody. I get that. But the idea is to go find companies like this. Here's Adobe, another, you know, expensive stock. Don't get, you know, scared because here's a stock that's a $50 stock on its way higher. Micron on its way higher. AMD on its way higher. You know, here's another company on its way higher. So there's a lot of companies like this. And again, you don't have to trade a high price stocks. The idea is once you understand how this works, once you understand what to look for, once you understand how to manage it properly, then it becomes easy for you to go out there and find your own. Okay. So this Tuesday coming up, not tonight, but this coming Tuesday, at 7:30 p.m., I'm going to go into an in-depth workshop. This is where we go into more details about how do you find them. I'll show you the scan I have. I'll show you ways that you can also create your own scans. If you choose to create your own scans, what to look for, the details of what you want to make sure is in there so you're getting the right ones and getting rid of the bad ones. I will show you seven candlesticks that you need to know. Well, not necessarily need to know, but it's good because I saw somebody ask me, hey, how do you determine when to enter? All right, there are seven candlesticks. There's tons of candlesticks, but there's seven specific ones where if you understand those sevens, when you see that we're now in the 50% or lower quadrant of these type of stocks, then start paying attention to one of these sevens. As soon as you start seeing them, it's like a dead giveaway. Like, I kid you not, it's like a dead giveaway. And it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. And so this is why even with candlesticks, I don't even spend too much time understanding all the candlesticks out there. I just focus on these seven with a strategy like this. Boom. Somebody asks, how do you know when to get out? I'll show you the number one indicator. You only need one indicator. I kid you not, one. Just as much as I showed you one indicator to kind of make it very simple, I'll show you one indicator. It's like, if this indicator says get out, do not argue with that indicator. I promise you. Anybody comes to me and say, hey, I didn't make money off of this. I said, I promise you, because you didn't follow the indicator. And almost always they'll come back. And I said, okay, show me where you bought it and show me where you sold. That's so right here. What did the indicator say? I said, it's not even me. I kid you not. It's not even me. It's what did the indicator say? Does that make sense? And it's so simple. If my 11-year-old and my 9-year-old, one of the most beautiful thing about this is my kids know nothing about the economy. They know nothing about the news. They know nothing about the press. They know nothing about the recession. They don't even know there's a recession, right? They know nothing about that. They don't even know they're supposed to even listen to the news, but they can consistently find, identify, trade, and profit from these type of setups over and over. It, to them, it's like so natural. So if they can do it, I know you guys can do it too. David has been gracious and he put the link in there. So just go to this link right here because my time is pretty much up. The price that I usually charge is 747, but this week for anybody who joined in this week, and this means basically from now to Sunday night, if you go to this link, HARP Strategy, rightsidetrading.com/HARP Strategy, you can get for 197. If you do it today only, like it ends midnight Pacific Standard Time, which is 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. If you do it today, you'll get in for $97. After today, the price will go back to 197 until Sunday. And then after that, if you say you want the recording, then it's going to be back to the regular price of 475. Okay. But I think for anybody who's interested, definitely go out there. I will see you on Tuesday night and I will show you how to it make it very simple. It's all it takes. It's something very, very simple. You don't have to complicate it. The biggest challenge you'll have is just your patience, honestly, making sure you do the work to find the right ones. And then just follow the rules. It's a rule-based strategy, not an emotional-based strategy. All right. Well, that's my time. David, thank you so much again for allowing me to be here. What time? It is 7:30 on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. Okay. But come in there, guys, and I'll show you. I promise you, you'll learn a lot. Okay. All right. That's my time.